Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Base Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, Mike here with BeastNet, and this week I've got Lorenzo with me, and we're going to talk a little bit about Seattle, a little bit about Summit the Swamp. We might throw some endgame in at the end. So how you doing, Lorenzo?
Pretty good, Mike. How are you?
Doing all right. It's been a good weekend. So
it's been a great weekend.
So, yeah, I know you've seen Endgame way too much. So we were just talking about that. So we don't want to spoil anything for anyone. We might talk about Endgame at the end, though. So first, let's start with Seattle. What? Give me your thoughts on Seattle. Last week I had Kyle on, and it was his very first Spartan he ever did was Seattle Super. And I know you've done a few, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on how you felt Seattle was.
Oh, man. Seattle. So I will give you my thoughts on Seattle in a chronologic order of the minute I stepped off that course to basically now. I got off that course, and my initial reaction and response and words that came out of my mouth were like, yeah, I don't know that I'm going to do Seattle again next year. And it wasn't like I was super upset. I mean, I was cold. That course beat the crap out of me. And again, one of the first words that came out of my mouth, I think I saw Adam at the biggest team tent, and I was like, I might have had some profanity in there. I don't know. I was pretty worked up. But it was, I don't know that I want to do Seattle next year. It's just a miserable course. And I think that's fairly fair to say that it is it's a tough course. It's not easy by any means.
It is.
The weather, the environment, it's what it is. And that didn't sit well with me, as my competitive side, at least. It saying that and feeling that, I think it felt worse than I was saying and feeling it, because as the weekend progressed and Sunday I was driving home, and then through Sunday evening, and then Monday morning, I think I probably had it all kind of, or Monday afternoon or something. I probably had my head straightened out, and it's a tough course, but why do we do this? You know, what's the point of going out there week in and week out and racing these races? We do it for the community because, in my opinion, it's the one thing that definitely keeps me coming back. Getting out there and seeing everybody and watching and enduring the whole course with everybody, that's an amazing thing. The community, but the challenge, I think that's, for a lot of people too, why you keep coming back out as well. And it's why you train. It's why you do what you do between races. So the feeling of not wanting to come back out because I that course beat me up, it felt bad. Like, I didn't like that. So as a competitive racer, I did not do well on that course. I slipped off of, everybody did. We all did. We all raced the same course. Some people's strengths are better than others. Some people are faster and they don't have the strength. Some people are strong and they don't have the speed. Some people are a mix of both. And then some people are pro level athletes. So you've got a mix of all of it out there. And for me, I read a lot of reviews. And so when I initially hit you up and I was like, hey, if you need somebody for the podcast, I'm definitely down. I got some things, you know, on my mind about it. I read a bunch of reviews on the race on Facebook, and it's just one of those things. I saw so many people up and down and back and forth on it, and I'm like, why? You need to ask yourself, why do you do this? If it's too hard, you learn, or if you had a rough time and it was hard, then you make it easier for the next time. You train, you learn from it. It's not going to be one of those things where it's like, oh man, I have a tough time stepping up on the podium at a super or a beast. Maybe I just shouldn't do those again. No, that's not the answer. You train so that you can do what you're trying to do. So that's the competitive nature inside of me that was kind of like turned its stomach was like, oh, no, we don't not race just because the course is tough.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, there was a lot of things for me is, you know, I was not excited, honestly, when I finished the race. I was cold, I was wet, and I had kind of the same thoughts of, you know, I don't know if I want to do this again. But it's the same thing like you kind of said. I mean, we do this to challenge ourselves. And the more I thought about it, the more posts that I saw from people, I thought about it. I'm like, a lot of people wanted to, kept saying they'd want to move to later in the year. And I'm like, I don't know if I would do it. It wouldn't be as fun. I mean, you look at this race and then you look at the Beast in September and they're so different. I mean, I know people that got better times on the Beast than they did on the Super because the Beast is so dry and flat and easy.
Right.
That it's like, and if you did this race later in the year, it would be just like that.
Right. And that's the thing too, like, so that's exactly right. You know, if you're going to have the venue or if you're going to back up a Spartan race and double venue it during that year, yeah, definitely want to hit it in different seasons. But that's the other side of that too. Like to say like we're Pacific Northwesterners, like that's our climate. And to say that it's too hard, like, well, that's where we live. Like we should, you know, try to master it, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, moving the date, moving the venue itself, all those comments came up, and so that's where I'm torn. Again, the competitive nature in me says, if you basically my biggest take and the thing that I end my whole conversation on that stuff with is, if you want to move the race venue, that's fine. If you want to push the date to another time, that's fine too. That being said, let me get one more crack at it, because that's 2 years in a row now that Seattle has kicked my butt. And at this point, you know, you move from Seattle, and Seattle's been the race that has gotten me into gear for the rest of the season. So it shows me what I need to work on the most. And at this point, I know what the rest of my season entails. It's a lot more mountainous, and I'm going to work on my grip strength and stuff like that for Seattle next year. If you can do the Seattle obstacles, you can do them anywhere. So, I mean, that's kind of where my mindset and my training is at, is be able to do the obstacles in any condition.
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, that's one thing for me is I want to be challenged. It sounds horrible. I liked the fact that I was cold. I liked the fact that I was freezing because it gave me something different. You know,
right.
Montana, you go to Montana because you want to deal with hills. And hills are brutal. And every year the hills kick my butt. Every year I come back saying, okay, I need to work on my hill training. You know, it's not, I don't come back saying, hey, they need to move Montana. They need to get them off those hills. It's like, I need to work on my training. And that's kind of my thought in Seattle. And I know some people are different and some people have other issues with the cold. But for me, it's okay. I was freezing. I was cold. By the time the race ended, my right hand like did not work because it was frozen, you know. But to me, that wasn't a, hey, they need to move this. That's a, hey, what do I need to do next year?
Exactly.
To make sure this doesn't happen. And that's my way of seeing it.
That's the way everybody really needs to see it, is not that's miserable, they need to change for us. It's no, like, we've adopted this sport and the challenges that it gives us, and we accept them all, and we push ourselves to be the best. Well, and not to sound too cheesy, but I do live a lot by, like, with my training and then what I do. I do try to live a little bit by the saying of just trying to become the best version of myself. And I really do. And that's, you know, physically, mentally, personally, just stuff like that. And why not? I mean, everybody should strive for that. So to say they need to move the course to better suit me, no, I don't think so. I'm going to move and figure out what I need to do to make the course, to dominate the course. I don't want it to be any easier. I want to dominate that course because I am now stronger. I am now faster. I'm now better trained. I mean, that's what it does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's just it. You either find ways. I mean, you find ways to train better, maybe different gear to help you out. It's like me and in Hawaii. Every year in Hawaii, the first year, a lot of people don't know how like, what was it, the second year when I didn't have the boot and everything else. And I had, part of it was medication, other things. I got sick on the course, like very, very sick on the beach course, which I haven't really told anyone like how sick I was, but I should have quit. But I kept going anyway. And the next year I was thinking, okay, when I went back to next year, I'm like, what do I need to do to deal with the heat? I don't right. deal with heat well. I'm one that I would rather have the cold, nasty, like Seattle, than the hot, humid, like Hawaii.
Right. And I
so my thought on that was
temperatures.
Oh, I do not do well in the hot and humid. So I found ways and I found different things that would help cool my body down. You know, thought about what.
I don't know if he's recording still and can hear me, so I'll talk until he figures the technical difficulty out on his side. Might be. We'll see. So, yeah, like Mike was saying, like, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So, you know, okay. how do I prepare myself to be ready for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody should do. And like this last, from Seattle, I learned that there's a new piece of equipment out there. And when I was researching this and talking to people about it, they're like, yeah, you haven't heard of these things? Like, they've been around for a while. It's those Belge mitts. Have you seen those?
What are they?
It's a Belge
mitt. Oh, yes, I have heard of those.
Yeah, and I'd never even heard of them before. I think I've probably seen people wearing them, but I didn't really acknowledge it. And it's just a neoprene mitten that has a slice in it, and you can easily get your hands in and out to traverse the obstacles, and you put them back in, and it keeps your hands warm. That was the biggest problem to me in Seattle, was I lost so much dexterity as I was reaching for stuff, and my fingers were cramped, like, were not extending fully. I was on the twister, and, like, I grabbed it with three fingers, two fingers and thumb, because my other two fingers didn't want to open all the way up, and I was just like, yeah, and reaching for bells, was like just everything was so tight because it was cold. There's gear for that. And, you know, next year if it's pouring down rain like that, I'll probably run in a windbreaker. And I think I might invest in those Belge mitts. So, we learn from that stuff. I have to see the other side of that. Like, I don't like to complain about anything. I'll learn about stuff. I'll learn what I need to work on. That being said, I like to also play devil's advocate with it and say, okay, I need to look at the other side of that coin. You had almost, roughly near 200 people either hypothermic or pre-hypothermic. That's a little excessive. And you're looking at, you know, mostly open heat waves on that one. And not just open heat waves. I don't want to say, I'm going to say the majority of the chunk was open heat, but you had pro racer, what's his name? He's one of the leaders. Ryan Kempson. He was pre-hypothermic. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show that that course is that course, and it's going to affect everybody in one way or another. Could be the same, could be, you know, to a lesser extent. But no one's safe. Anybody can get those conditions. So that being said, maybe that needs to be looked at. Also, currently, this weekend, the New Jersey Beast and Ultra Beast was going on out east, and they had the same stuff, a lot of hypothermic racer stuff. So, you know, on that note, is that something to take into consideration, that maybe things need to be done on the higher level outside of just the racers and more into the organization of the race? Maybe. You know, and I'm not going to say that it does or it doesn't. But I do take that into consideration. Like, first-time racers that go out to do a Spartan race in Seattle, and then their first one's going to be the Super, they don't quite know what to expect. If they're not linked in with Beast OCR, and not only if they're, even if they are, and they're not, like, you know, going to post on the page and ask questions and stuff like that, and they want to just kind of read through stuff, and they're not asking, like, hey, what should I bring? What should I wear? What, you know, recommendations and stuff. They're going to show up in whatever they're going to show up, and they might not even be prepared for something like that race. So there's a lot of that going on too, and I see that. I don't have the answer for that. I mean, there's training you can do.
I don't need
for me as a competitive racer. I know if I'm going to be cold, I have to move my body. I know that if I move at a certain tempo and get my heart rate up to a certain point, I can maintain my body temperature and warm back up. If I layer up, I have to slow down, otherwise I overheat. So there's that fine balance of, and that's, you have to train in, you have to train in your different gear. You have to try different things out. I would never try anything new on a course. I would try it out, you know, before I race and see what works for me before I go into a course. But I've tried multiple different things. I've ran in, I've trained in a wetsuit for overnight running, and I hate neoprene. Like, I cannot run in that stuff. I
heard that from a lot of people.
Body temperature at all. So,
well, that's just it too. You have to figure out how to maintain your body temperature.
Yeah,
you know,
and I don't think that I
if
can.
If you wear the wrong, I'd say if you wear the wrong clothing, then it does, it can do the complete opposite. Where I've seen people layer up, but they layer up with like a cotton-based material or something like that that just soaks in the water and keeps you cold. It's like, no, that's no, you know, you got to make sure wearing the right material. Because, I mean, really, a wetsuit is designed to basically let the water in and then trap it. And then your body heats up that first layer of water that's there.
Yep, so, it's a barrier.
Yeah.
The same thing with like a windbreaker. A windbreaker is awesome for Seattle because it's insulating. Like you're not going to get the same effect as a neoprene wetsuit or anything, but you're going to get something close. The windbreaker is not, it's not breathing as well. So whatever body heat you're creating, it's insulating you that much better. So, and yeah, so that being said, Seattle, it's a tough course. It's going to maintain being a tough course as long as they keep it, you know, and it's a roll of the dice. The day before, on the open house, I went out and played on the obstacles, nailed every single one. Went out the next morning, fell off half of them. It's a roll of the dice.
Oh, it is. And the day before was, I think, 15, 20 degrees higher. And that's what a lot of people don't think about, too, is last year, everyone talks about, oh, you know, it was the same last year. No, last year, it was the same. It was actually rained harder last year. There was more rain and more wet last year, but it was 10, 15 degrees warmer. And that 10 or 15 degrees is a huge difference. And they didn't have the river crossing. I missed that. I got there, like, literally as I was coming up, pretty much, they closed the river walk probably a minute to 2 minutes before we got there. We just missed it. So I missed that part. And, I mean, I've even said, I don't think Benton would have kept going. If we would have threw the river right there, I think he would have been done. Because at that point, he was freezing. But then we got out of the wind into the woods. He started to warm up. But I think if we jumped in the water right there, I think he would have went right back to freezing and been like, no, Dad, I'm done.
Yeah, that was tough. And I had at that point throttled back quite a bit on my speed, just due to conserving whatever, and I wasn't going to be going full throttle from that point. And I cooled off so much at a couple times there that it was just like, okay, I'm running dangerously slow, and I need to somehow pick up my body temperature. And honestly, though, there's that threshold of like, I might be too cold to get my body temperature to really come up right now. So,
And the one thing I want to say too is, I don't want to say anything. I have nothing bad to say about anybody that didn't finish that race. You know, it was tough, and hypothermia is a very serious thing. Because I've had a few people on posts like, "Oh, I see you don't care about me." It's like, no, it's not that. I'm just saying there are ways around it. And ways to train for it. I mean, they do races at Greek Peak where there's snow.
Yeah.
You know,
there's snow on the ground currently in Montana. And
that's what I was going to say. For those going to Montana, it's snowing right now. So Because this year, for everyone that doesn't know, I'm missing Montana. So I was supposed to have surgery this last Thursday, and they got moved to this next Thursday. So I will be recovering from surgery while you guys are all doing that race. So. The first time since 2015.
Yeah.
I'll be missing it.
That's tough right there. We'll be missing you out there on that one too. But again,
it was one of those. You got to take care of yourself. And my doctor even told me, they're like pretty much, because last year, because I had the same surgery last year. And last year they pushed it to after Montana so that I could do Montana.
Right.
And this year it's the injury's worse. And the doctor pretty much said, I shouldn't have done Seattle.
Oh, wow.
They're like, you should not have done Seattle. And we're not pushing it back to after Montana because if we do, you're going. And I know you'll go. So we're doing it beforehand. So my doctor pretty much didn't give me a choice.
Yeah. So, sometimes you need that. Sometimes it's necessary.
Sometimes you do, unfortunately, because we get so into our heads. Like, to me, I wanted that. I want three trifectas this year, and I always have that first one in May.
Right.
You know, and this year it's just like, okay, you're going to have to wait till August for that first trifecta. And if you want three, I'm going to have to probably do Tahoe. So.
Have you done Tahoe before?
So it's, nope.
You need to get out there for Tahoe, man. That's such a good, the venue, man.
And that's kind of my thought, is I want to go anyway. And BeastNet, we've already been invited, BeastNet podcast, just so people know, we have been invited to Tahoe for the media day.
Oh, awesome.
So from Spartan.
Yeah.
I got invited from Spartan, so it's like, I'm supposed to be there anyway for media day. Might as well do the race while I'm there.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny with the Spartan community in Tahoe. Like, that is the home. That's home right there. We have our home races in Seattle and Portland, but and Boise. And that's where our people, you know, the locals are at. But when you go to Tahoe, that's where you get the diehards, the Spartans that are all over the place. If you're traveling the country and you're meeting people all over the place, different Spartans and all over, you're going to run into them again in Tahoe. If you're following people on social media, you'll run into them in Tahoe. Like
that's what I'm hoping for.
Unique event for the community.
I'm hoping. I've met a lot of fun people. I've met a lot of fun people doing Hawaii, doing Vegas, stuff like that. I finally got to meet Spartachu. If you guys have not met Spartachu, don't follow him on Facebook or Instagram. He's awesome. He does the race in a Pikachu outfit every race.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and it was awesome too, because I felt it was like the one time I felt almost like a celebrity, because he passed me and turns around and looks at me and goes, "Pretty Mike, I follow you on Instagram." And I'm like, that's awesome. I'm like, I feel special. Someone follows me, and it's Pikachu. So
there you go. That's nice.
That's
great. But to pull back to Seattle, I think my end all with it is I see everything about that course, how tough it is. It mentally broke me a little bit for a minute there and made me question some things. But I took a step back and really asked myself, hey, why do I do this? And if we're going to move it for whatever reason, I don't think it's a terrible idea. That being said, I'd like one more crack at it. Again, last 2 years weren't favored for me there. I'd like to do it one more time. And if it's raining, even better, because I want that challenge. If it's not, cool, great. It's going to be a good race either way.
It is, and that's kind of me. I want one more shot at it at least. And it's kind of one of those, like we talked about, I braved you braved the challenge. It's like, here's the challenge. It sucked. It was horrible. Here's what I need to fix for next year. I need to find a way to do this. You know, and it's like me and Dawn and Kyle were talking one day, how are we going to train for, you know, Seattle for next year? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe we come over to my house. We all spray ourselves down with a hose and go walk around in the rain in the middle of January. I mean, I can't think of a better way, honestly.
Exactly.
You know, get out the kiddie pool and just lay in it, you know, in the middle of January. I mean, find something to try it. I mean, it sounds bad, but really try and cool your body down and then bring it back. And that's kind of the hard part with Seattle is, like you said, maintaining your body temperature. Once it drops, and that's where most people had their problems, they went under that dunk wall. And they were already wet from the rain and everything else, but they go under the dunk wall, and then their body temperature drops. And they weren't able to bring it back. And that's where it's, you know, so I mean, maybe that's what you do for training. I mean, you know, not to sound bad, freeze yourself, drop your body temperature, and then figure out what you need to do to bring it back.
Yeah. And, you know, there's things like that too, going into like the catch 22 of, or not catch 22, but the other side of that coin of like, maybe they do need to change some things around. I think course design could come into play. If you're going to get us wet, do it either later in the race, like close to the end of the race. That way, you know, because that was what mile? It was within the first 3 miles you were hitting the dunk wall.
Yeah. So it was like mile, I think you crossed past mile two, marker two, right before you went into the line, bud.
Yeah. So, and I think Spartan can make adjustments to the course to make that easy.
Well, see, but I think that's like, keep running
into problems. I don't like to say the word easy, but yeah. I
think that's where you run into problems, because you get people on the other side of the coin who are talking about how Spartan said they were going to change kind of the format to where they're going to make the sprints and the supers even easier and beef up the beasts. And you got too many people saying, hey, and they have, but you're making them too easy. But then all of a sudden you do something, you throw something like Seattle, which Seattle in April, one of the biggest obstacles is the terrain, the weather, one of the biggest obstacles, you know. But, you know, you start getting into that, you know, when is it too much? And that's kind of it. It's like they are a business and you still have to keep the majority of people happy so people keep signing up. You can't just please the people like us that are like, cool, this was an awesome challenge. Make it worse next year. Let's figure out how we can make it, you know, how we can train better to deal with it. You know, you're not going to get everybody that has that attitude like we do. So,
no,
you know.
And I can see that.
What I think they need to do is we need a Washington race on the east side of the mountains.
Like a Spartan one? Because we have local ones out that way, but yeah, I would like
to see we need a Spartan in like Yakima. I mean, use the training grounds. You know, see if you can get the military lifts, use their training facilities out there or something. You know, in Yakima, something like that. You know, I don't know if anybody who's ever been out there, everyone thinks of Washington, and I've had friends. My dad's parents used to ride motorcycles, and we went on a trip once. And when we were coming back, we came through Idaho and crossed into Washington. And the first thing out of their mouths was, I thought Washington was supposed to be green. It's like it is when you get over the mountains into the west side. The east side of the mountains is a desert. And you get so many, I think you would surprise so many people to do a race in like Yakima in the middle of winter or summer, and they'd be like, cool. It's Seattle. It'll be like 70, 75 degrees. No, it'll be like 100 to 110. And, you know, no shade because there's no trees. And, I mean, it's a desolate place. And that's one thing I think they need to do it out there and get something. Give us something different. Give us the other atmospheres of Washington.
I'd love to see that happen. And that's the other side of that, too, is, like, people are talking about moving the date or moving the venue. Equestrian Center, likely they can't move the date because they're probably doing other stuff with that event area.
Yeah.
It's not just an obstacle course racing facility. It's an equestrian center. And a lot of venues run into that where it's like the meat and potatoes of what they do there is doing certain times of the year when we would probably consider the race.
And that's just it. I mean, they don't want to, you know. Yeah. So did you try the trail race while you were there? You just did the super, right?
I'm really just the super. I'm really trying hard this year to be a one and done all season. I'm really hoping to go all season long healthy. I feel like doubling up laps multiple days, stuff like that. It's a lot of wear and tear on the body. So I'm really trying this year to see how much restraint I can have and self-discipline and not do that. So I opted out on doing the sprint and the trail, which...
So I mean, you're younger.
I see everybody doing it. Yeah. I see everybody did it. I want to be out there and people are like, you know, doing really well. And I'm like, man, if I was out there, I probably would have done pretty good too. But, you know, I'm trying to...
Probably would have.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel took second or third in her age?
Rachel took, I want to say...
Was it second in age group? But if she'd gone, if she'd actually run elite, she would have been in like third.
She was third overall if she would have raced, or third in her third female if she would have raced elite. I think, second.
Yeah.
Second is what she got in her age group.
Yeah, but Rachel's amazing anyway, but It was, it was a fun time. But I mean, like I was going to say, you're younger. So, you know, us older guys, we have to double up because we're counting down how many years we have left to do this. So.
That's fair. Yeah. No, I'm going to try to behave myself this season and we'll see where that goes. I mean, I'm tempted to run another lap in Montana this coming weekend. Like, not another lap, but a sprint. But we'll see. I mean, I've got Montana coming up this weekend, and then I have a weekend off, and then I've got Big Bear, which I hear Big Bear is kind of a little bit more of a elevation game than even Montana. So that'll be, I heard you got to respect those hills down there in Big Bear. You can't really, they will put you in your place. So we'll see.
Right on. That's good. So we talked about Seattle a bunch. So is there any last thoughts you want to say about Seattle?
Not really, other than let me get one more crack at it. Outside of that, I don't see the venue changing either which way. So it behooves everyone to take what you took from Seattle. If you didn't finish, you learned something. If you did finish, that was an earned medal. Like, I finished that race, and I can't honestly say that I've really earned many of my medals. Yes, I've earned some finishing medals in the past, but nowadays I feel like I can if I'm just cruising through a course, I can usually do pretty well. But that one I earned, like, for sure. Like, it was an earned medal, and I learned from it. And if you didn't finish, take what you learned and come back and you know, challenge yourself again. See where you need to continue to improve.
Perfect. I agree completely. So, all right. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have the commercial because normally I forget the commercial. That's why it's usually at the front of the end. So we're actually going to do the commercial where it should be this week. So we're going to take a quick break, have a commercial. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about Summit Small.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors. If you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
Okay, we're back from break. So, Lorenzo, tell us a little about Summit of the Swamp. I wanted to go this year. I had planned on it, but with a surgery, I wasn't going to make it. And then being Benton's birthday, he wanted to do other things. So we ended up not making it this year. But tell us what we missed and why we should be there next year.
Oh, man. Summit of the Swamp, that was an experience right there. I was on cloud nine. When I got home, I'll say one bad thing about it right now, right off the bat, is it is in a remote area. It's Randall, Washington. I personally didn't have very good cell phone signal out there. I was not able to go on Facebook Live. I really wanted to go through some of the obstacles and then kind of walk the course and cruise it after I was done and kind of show what was going on there. There's a ton of pictures on there. Brian Kays has posted up a bunch of pictures. So that's the one thing. So I got home, I'm on cloud nine, the overall experience of this course. So I posted I went live on the Beast page as well. So if you're mm-hmm. interested in seeing what I had to say there too, that's another spot, but Summit of Swamp, holy crap. Let me first off by saying thank you to, the folks over there that put on that course. It's a very, very nice course, very awesome people, and I really look forward to racing and working with that group of people over there in the future. It's something special. So we just talked about Seattle.
I talked to her beforehand, but
yeah, and great lady. So we talked about Seattle. We've raced that course. We know the terrain. We've seen it, you know, and we've seen it both dry and wet. This was the Pacific Northwest in its most pure form at Summit of Swamp. You had all the terrains there. I mean, obviously, as we were talking, like, there's the other side of the mountain where it's a desert, but this is the green side, this side of the mountain, just south of Mount Rainier. So it's green, it's lush, it's wet, it's you got all the Pacific Northwest typical what you think of our terrain. We had a solid hill slash mountain, I guess, that was, you know, single track. They started us out, jumped over some tires, and then just, this wasn't a hill that you could run up. It was a goat path, and it was just hands and knees at some points, just clawing your way up this hill. And it was steep, loose. Like, you could get the best pro racers, pro Spartan racers out there who run up all these mountains and stuff. They're not going to run up this mountain and up this hill. There's no way. It's impossible. And if you are, okay, I'm not going to say impossible, but there might be a handful. Either which way, it would be no easy task, and it would be really, it would take a lot out of you to really do that. You'd have to really be wanting to do it. And as a pro racer, it's probably not something that they would do. So there was that. They took you to the top, and then I raced in the what they call the jackpot wave, and I'll get into that later. But so I was one of the first up to the top of the hill, and I kind of wish that I would have done a second lap, because I would have loved to have been up there and taken a picture, or not even necessarily a picture, but just taken in the view. Like, it was a gorgeous course. We were blessed with some really nice weather. It was a little drizzly in the morning. The clouds broke just enough. We had some patches of sun and clouds, and it got a little windy, so it was chilly. But, you know, it wasn't a bad weather for a race at all. And then they took us to the top. We had we came back down, and then we crossed a field of, like, probably calf-high water throughout this field, a couple of water crossings. It was really neat. And the obstacles, like I said, you got to get on Facebook and check out Summit of Swamp. I think all the pictures were tagged, otherwise Beast OCR, I know Brian, he put a bunch of pictures up there. These are some fresh obstacles, man. Like, nothing flashy, not to say that Spartan's super flashy, but all their trussing systems with the monkey bars and the twisters and the beaters, all that stuff, and the multi-rigs, they don't have that stuff. They have real down-to-earth obstacles. You've got tires that you're going to be, you know, they strung out, I think it was like a rope from a tree to a tree, and then a water crossing under it, and then they just drilled holes right in the middle of a bunch of tires, and you had to traverse across without touching the water. And that was such a super fresh idea for an obstacle. Oh. And then there was another one that, like, they had probably, I think there was probably right around six trees, and they're probably, I don't know, yard and a half, 2 yards away from each other. And you had to go from one tree all the way to the end without touching the ground. And they had all the head stuff hanging from it, like a rope from one end to the other, a little Tarzan swing from one to another one, a chain link ladder thing to traverse across. Like, it was all really awesome obstacles, a totally just raw, just down-to-earth take on an obstacle course race. It wasn't the flashiness of what we're used to. It was like, it was at its rawest. And I loved the course. I loved the obstacles. It was everything. Like, it was really good. And so we need to get more people out there on that course. Like, that's kind of the way I left that course this weekend. I was like, man, it's 2 hours from me. It's 2 hours from the rough. It's probably a little bit closer to Seattle, but I don't know. It's centrally located, so it's the same drive for everybody.
It's 2 hours from everything.
Yeah. So I think that, and not only that, but they offered camping the night before. I think the night before. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know they camped out for Saturday night. They had a live band. They fed us, like, all racers ate, you know, those covered, and they cooked. They had, you know, chili and clam chowder and bread bowls. Like, they did an awesome job. Live music at that night, and then you camped overnight and you ran the course the next day again. I think that there's a lot of potential for this venue and this course, and I think there was only about 80 people out there this weekend, and I think somebody mentioned that we'll probably, you know, we're going to work on trying to get into the triple digits. And my response was, no, I think we can easily double 80.
Oh, yeah. So, and that's it. That's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it, too, is like I said, I feel horrible that I wasn't able to make it. But things being what they were, kind of this weekend was, there were some issues. So I definitely want to get out there. I mean, I had great things, you know, talking to Hazelana, you know, and Brian a month or so ago about it. I definitely want to make sure that if they do this, when they do this again next year, that the Beast, that they have our full support and that we find a way to make sure that we can at least double, if not more, you know, really make this take off. So,
yeah. And I feel like I really,
and I think that's what a lot of us are missing.
Yeah. And I kind of dodged a bullet on this whole situation because this race was in my scope of like, okay, this event is going on. There was another race that was going on the same weekend, and it was almost a coin toss, but, you know, they did some really good things within the last month of posting pictures, posting ideas, and they had a real good media about themselves as far as, like, enough for me to make a decision on, like, that course looks like something I would rather do than the other one. Not to take anything away from the other one. There wasn't anything big. It was a local deal, but I just kind of wanted to show my support for the other local one. But I'm really glad. Like I said, I dodged a bullet. If I would have missed that, I would have felt like I really missed out on something special. And
now you're making me feel bad.
Well, and I don't mean to make you feel bad. That being said, it's gonna grow. It's gonna get bigger. And I think we need to show the support for the local races, but the local races.
Yeah.
We've lost too many. And I don't even know how many were around. Like, I haven't been doing this since the dawn of OCR and Pacific Northwest, but I've heard of the ones who have risen and fallen. And I know that we don't have any left. And this one right here has...
No, we don't have.
To be something special.
Yeah, because it's one of those things, because I'll be honest, there are days that I look at, you know, my wall of medals that I've collected over the last 10 years, and there's four or five that I know I'll never see again.
Right.
You know, that I got medals from them. They were one time here or whatever. They were doing okay for a little bit and then disappeared, you know, and I don't want to see that happen with some of these others. So I know I've stated a lot of times that as BeastNet, I want to make sure that if you know of any local ones that need a little bit of help and a push, let me know, and I'll love to get them on. Because, I mean, that was one thing, you know, with some of the swamp, I wanted to make sure that we got them on and gave them that a little bit more push to hopefully get some more people and let people know what it's about. And kind of one of the things I wanted to talk to you, because I know you were there and we could talk about, you know, let people know what it was about and what people, you know, what you missed and what you could look forward to next year. And I think a lot of us are missing that back to earth, you know, the less flashy obstacles, like you said. I mean, more back to just generic, like, this is an obstacle. It doesn't need to look super cool and whatever. It just needs to be an obstacle.
Just back to the basics.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. And this is a really special course, and I think we need to take full advantage of it being here and definitely help it grow. And the way we help it grow is by going out, helping out, volunteering, showing up, racing, and you know, boosting it and posting about it and just, you know, promoting it, helping it thrive. Like, it's, you know, and at the end of the day, like, you know, during the race, they mentioned, or after the award ceremony and stuff, they're like, we put this on for you guys. Well, it's also our responsibility to make sure that they can continue to put this on for us, showing our support. In the end, it's our race to lose. I mean, if they're not able to keep it going, it's essentially our own fault. And Beast OCR, we're the biggest in the Northwest. So we're going to have, you know, a lot to do with that.
We are, and it's going to be, it is. So, I mean, I hope Hazel, because I mean, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, they're not some big random company. They're a family owned farm that had friends that were doing basically CrossFit and some of these races and said, hey, why don't we put one together for our friends?
Yep.
And that's what it started out as.
Yep. And so, from what I gathered, this is the fourth year that they've done an event there. This is the second year of those four, but it's actually been an obstacle course race. Before that, I guess it was just a trail run. I'm not 100% sure on that. That's just what I've gathered on Saturday.
I believe that's what Hayes Land said.
So with that being said, this is their second time doing this. I think the third time, I think we need to make it something insane. And I'd like to see, people camping out there.
I want to have a talk with Brian Kay, because I know Brian has a really good rapport with Hazel Ann, and talk to him about whether or not we as a group need to say, hey, what do you need from us to make sure this is good next year? It is good to improve it and make sure we get more people out there next year. And, as a group, as the Beats OCR, like you said, we're the biggest ones in this area. And, as I guess both of us are directors of some sort. So we should have a little bit of say there somewhere. But
absolutely. And I mean, we're the ones who are going to, these OCRs is going to be the ones who kind of will help the most in the local community stuff. Spartan's not going to go anywhere. Not everybody who goes out to a Spartan race is a member of Beast OCR. Even this weekend, there wasn't a lot of Beasts out there that I know of, at least. I mean, maybe they're members of the team that I'm not aware of it. I don't know. There's over 2,000. So some people are just, they get on the team and then they don't actually do anything on the Facebook. And if that's the case, then it's my fault, I guess. I don't know you, but if you're not active, I'm not going to know you. But so there are probably more out there than I'm aware of. But at the same time, there's a ton of us in Seattle. There's a ton of us in Portland, biggest team all over the place. This thing has the same possibilities to do that. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, it's 2 hours from Portland or it's 2 hours from Seattle. It's in the middle.
Yeah.
So we should be able to get both sides to make this trip. And you can camp, you can do whatever. So, yeah, I definitely want to get together with Brian and say, hey, as, Beast OCR, what can we do to help them? Because we do need more around here. I mean, we get Spartan, twice a year?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing for the rest of the year? We need to get more around here.
Or if you count Boise in Portland.
Yeah.
So,
Seattle, Portland. I mean, we used to have the Inferno and that stuff, and we lost that one. Mm-hmm. Right now we do have, My Muddy Valentine and, the other one, Dirty Leprechaun, which I want to make sure I get next year. Next year, I've already pledged that next year is pretty much going to be, I'm probably going to back off from my traveling from Spartan, and I'm going to look more into the locals, trying to make sure I hit, that My Muddy Valentine and, Dirty Leprechaun and, Summit to Swamp, all these small local ones to help get them going. Because, that's what we need to do. We need to support those.
There's one out east, and I'm very envious of some of the East Coast OCR team stuff.
Yep.
Because that's more or less where it started, and it thrives a lot better on the East Coast for whatever reason that is. I can't tell you. But they've got one out there called I think it's like Fit OCR Challenge or something like that. And it's in the same ballpark as Summit to Swamp. It's locally owned. It's that venue. It's the same place. There's fairly permanently fixed obstacles. Same as Summit to Swamp. It's like Summit to Swamp could be in, a 2 to 3 years. And it's voted best local OCR in the country is that one right there. They hold an endurance event out there. How many laps can you do? This place, some just swamped it as well. But I think the one out east, I think it's in Rhode Island, if I'm not thinking. I saw people posting all over Instagram about it, and I'm like, wow, that looks cool. I would love to get in on something like that. And then I just come to swamp this weekend, and I'm like, why can't we have that here? Like, this place has the potential to do exactly that. And at that point, you're drawing from people west of the Mississippi, like California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, Arizona. There's no reason why people from all of those states right there wouldn't come to an event that's, you know, something special like this. Like, if we're just drawing from Washington and Oregon and Idaho, cool. But I think that place has potential to be something really special and really big and draw from the entire West Coast and keep going further east for the draw.
See, now I definitely want to make sure I go next year. I got to make sure their next event, I'm there. So, and like I said, I want to do more of the locals. There was a couple other locals around here that I tried, and you get some that were good. Other ones, you're like, oh my. But there was one that I missed a couple years back that was up north, like almost at the Canadian border, that I missed because my foot was broken. Amber ended up like hurting her ankle at it, but Benton thought it was great. And I mean, they actually went through part of the track went through, you know, you ever seen like the speedboat races tracks?
Yes.
That was part of the track, where the speedboat races are. Yeah.
Huh.
It was crazy. But it was really cool. But I mean, it was one of those, I didn't get to see the whole course, obviously, because my foot was like literally, Amber and Benton did the race. I think it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks after my foot got broke. So there was no point, there was no way I could do anything.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those, then I never heard about it again. So I don't know if it was just went away or I just, you know, just didn't see it. But yeah, there's a lot of them like that, where, you know, they try it, it doesn't work, and then they just don't do it anymore. So that's kind of why I want to make sure that some of the swamp is one that doesn't happen, that we as a group, we need to make sure that they stick around, because that sounds like an awesome course. And like Hazeland and her family did a great job. So
yeah, they really did. And, you know, that being said, it was their second year doing this. They were so open to our feedback, and they really wanted to know how, you know, what they needed to do to make it better, what they could do, and, you know, ideas and stuff like that. So they're so, that means that they want to keep doing this. That means they want to do better. And it's awesome, because, you know, I'll give whatever feedback all day long, but when you're really asking for it and like taking notes and stuff like that, it's like, okay, so this, my feedback really does mean something at this point. And that's something that, you know, Spartan has a little button on the way out. Like, how was your experience? Rated, you know, on smiley faces, whatever. This place was no smiley face button on your way out. They wanted to know, and they're emailing out surveys as well. And they really want to know, you know, what's going on. And they came out, I guess Hazelina did come out to Ghost and saw us doing an endurance event out there. And who knows, maybe we'll get an endurance event out at her property out there. Something you never know.
Which would be awesome. I mean, that's the thing I really liked when me and Brian had her on the podcast and I talked to her, was her whole personality wasn't, hey, I'm doing this, you should come check it out. It's like, hey, I'm trying to do this. This is what we want to do. What do I need to do to make this good?
Yep.
It wasn't, she never had the attitude of, hey, this is what I'm doing, what do you, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was, hey, this is what I would like to do. What is your thoughts on what I should do to make this better? She's been so humble the whole time, asking for our help and our thoughts, which is, I think, is what's going to make that an amazing venue and an amazing race, even more than it already is. So,
and then it's going to turn into a careful what you wish for, because you're going to have quite a few people like, okay, what do you need from us? Because we're going to come out this weekend, and we want to clear trails. We want to freshen up obstacles. What do you need from us? And we're going to come in hordes to support you on this one.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
and that would
really
be one of those things I wouldn't think would be a bad idea.
Yeah. I expect next year or next event, I should say, you know, this year, next year, whenever it is, the next event, I try to think we should double the amount of participation that we had easily. If we lose this one as a local OCR, like that, I'm gonna take it very personally. Like that's gonna be something that I'll take really personally.
Like again, it was such a good course, and I feel like, you know, it's definitely something people need to get out to if you can.
Oh,
I know some.
I agree.
As a priority, but you know.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's one of those people need to get out there. And I want to talk to Hazeland. I mean, maybe it's one of those things. I mean, like I said, Brian seems to have a good relationship with her, that we say, hey, maybe we make, you know, we've been trying to get things together, like beast different, like workouts of the day. Maybe we turn it into, hey, we're going to do a summer beast workout of the day, but this workout of the day is actually going to be a weekend workout. We're going to go camp out at, you know, camp out in Randall and see what Hazel Anna needs us to do. And it's going to be our workout. It's going to be helping, you know, do some things to their facility to get ready for the next race.
Dude,
you know, help them out.
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. So,
yeah.
We'll have to talk more about that and talk to Brian and see if it's something we can work out. So,
oh yeah, we've got some time.
So, so anything you want to say about, anything else you want to say about that? You know, the summit, the swamp, because we're getting close to our my hour that I try to keep it at.
Yeah, I guess let's wrap it up with. It was a phenomenal course, and I think the best is yet to come. And this one's the best is yet to come for this one. So if you missed it this weekend, don't feel too bad, because it's only going to get better. And next time it's going to be even better. So yeah,
right on. That's awesome. So, and I can't wait for the next one. I think it's going to be great too. So one last thing before we go, give us a quick, like, 2 minute at most, you know, with no spoilers. What end game? What are your thoughts? Because we're nerds, and I have to talk about end game. Because
wow, yeah, I saw it 3 times this weekend, and it was
so it was horrible then.
Yeah, it was terrible. I don't recommend seeing it at all.
It was so bad, I went back twice.
Yeah, just to make sure. Was it really that bad? It was a roller coaster. If you're at all invested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, if you're like me, who is also, you know, I'm both invested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I grew up on the comic books. I grew up every morning, Sunday morning, Stan Lee on the TV, Excelsior, you know, and it was the Iron Man cartoon and the Fantastic Four cartoon. Every morning, I remember that as a kid. I think I was probably like 8 years old. And that's, you know, and then, you know, the Spider-Man cartoons. Spider-Man cartoons didn't have Stan Lee talking, though. Stan Lee was actually narrating a portion of this episode. Iron Man's going to face off against so-and-so. Or this episode, the Fantastic Four are in peril because of this. And that's how
later the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Some of the later Amazing Spider-Mans, he did talk. He was the janitor at their school.
Oh, yeah. Those, the newer ones, the Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah, I nerd out on those, so I'll have to.
Okay, so yeah, nerd, like, that would be cool.
Yeah, that was, like, right there in, like, the mid-90s. So, yeah, I collected the comic books and all that stuff. So I'm fairly invested in the Marvel scene, the whole comic book scene, all that stuff. For me, so that makes it something, you know, another level, I guess. But if you didn't grow up on the comic books, you're not 100% sure on everything that is, you know, the Marvel Universe, but you've watched all the movies and you're emotionally invested in some of these characters. Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark, you've got Captain America, you've got Thor, you've got all these characters over the last 11 years that have, you know, grown a relationship with. This movie will put it all... I don't want to spoil anything, but this movie is it. Like, it's the one that it's the culmination of everything that's been going on for the last 11 years. 22 different movies. And it's special. It's a masterpiece as far as I'm concerned. I came out of it on Thursday night, you know, and I was kind of wondering, like, is this my new favorite Marvel movie? I don't know. I have a real, real soft spot or a special spot for, Captain America Civil War. I thought that one was really phenomenally done. After seeing it a second time, I was like, yeah, I think this might actually take it. And then seeing it this afternoon or this evening or early, late morning, early afternoon with my nephews, I think this is it. And you know what's crazy? I might go over the 2 minute mark here. Let me know if I need to stop this down. My nephew asked me a question. He asked me two, and I can't remember exactly what the second one was. I'm sure it'll come to me. But He asked me a question before the movie started, and it was the first time I heard of any question like this. Get this, I don't know if you heard this from me or not, but this is from, you know, my little nephew. He says, "Hey, so in Infinity War, Thanos snapped everybody, and he took out half the whole population of everywhere, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he pretty much killed half of everybody." And he's like, "He did that because of all the resources and stuff, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he kind of had a good intentions in a sense, just really poorly and villainously executed. But he gets the concept." He's like, "Well, if the gauntlet could do that, why couldn't he just double the amount of resources?" And I'm like, "Huh? I never heard that one. I've never been asked that.
Never thought that either."
Just like that's coming from a child, and I'm like, "Wow, that's right, you know." And like that's
like, their brains work different than ours.
They do. It's simpler. Their brain works so much. It's cut and dry. It's black and white. Like, well, wait a minute. Why not just do this? This makes more sense. And then, you know, and to answer the question, it's like, wow, you know, that's a really amazing, powerful question. And I guess the only powerful answer back for that is Thanos is a villain. That's what separates the heroes from the villains. Where if Captain America were to wield the gauntlet, he would, you know, help people with it in the right way. Thanos doesn't have that humanity about, or you know, just the sense of saving life as opposed to taking it. He would rather take it to you know, for the greater good, as opposed to, you know, finding another way. So that's what separates the heroes and the villains. It's kind of how I had
it
to
does,
answer that.
And that's how the whole movie was.
Yeah, super awesome question though. He had another one that was kind of one of those, like, you know, stop you dead in your tracks. Like, yeah, good question. But I can't remember it off the top of my head right this minute. But Endgame, super powerful. I went into the weekend on Wednesday, kind of. And I wish the best of luck to all the Starks this weekend, because Game of Thrones is next. And I made it through Endgame with whatever happens in Endgame, and now I'll see what happens on the next nerdy show that I watch. Because aside from the only other thing I do besides train, race, and work is I nerd out on certain things, mostly sci-fi, comic book stuff, and then the Game of Thrones was recently thrown in there with all that stuff too.
I'm right there with you on that one.
Yeah.
So that's going to start as soon as we're done recording this episode. I'll be watching the other Starks. So,
It starts in about 9 minutes.
Yeah, about that. So, I know the one thing I have to say about Endgame was, like you said, it was amazing. It was like my first sexual experience. There was a lot of like joy, a lot of crying, and a lot of that was way too quick, but.
It
ended way too fast, but you know, hey. But no, it was amazing. I loved it. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, before the opening credits, I was almost crying. So, I mean, it's amazing. It has a lot of, especially if you watch for the last 11 years, like 11 years, 22 movies, all culminating into this one 3-hour long, just thing of beauty. I mean, it's amazing. If you're a nerd, even if you're not a nerd, my wife's not a nerd. She hates the Marvel movies. She hates most of them. There's only a few that she actually enjoys, and she liked it. So she was even okay with the 3-hour movie. So, I mean, it's a good movie. So,
and my sister's not exactly a nerd in the strictest definition either, and this one had her, you know, tearing up pretty good. So it was, Get on it.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Endgame, 1,000 stars out of 4.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I agree. So, all right. Well, thank you, Lorenzo, for talking about everything. And
absolutely. Always a pleasure.
I'll have you on more. I mean, for those that don't know Lorenzo, you need to get to know Lorenzo. He's fun. So, all right. So, thank you. I will talk to you all next week.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.